This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. So we're taping this on Wednesday after the conference championships game, and kind of a Wednesday that's going to go down in history, I think, as a day that everybody talked about how much air was in a football. That's been the day today. That's been all the talk. So I'm in the lounge. I'm happy. I got my cigar going. Got my drink about half done. Got a couple of lovely ladies in front of me. I'm cool. I'm joined by a couple of regulars. Guys, you can't peel them off the stool here in the lounge. We have the combustible Keith Schmidt. Keith, how's it going? Been a couple weeks.
I'm all right. My balls feel a little light, but I'm not sure if that's from the lounge or if Belichick got a hold of me, but that's all right.
We're not even going to touch that one. And good to hear, Keith. Good to hear. Sounds like you're ready to debate. And also a regular bar fly that he is, straw that stirs the drink here in the lounge, the Steelers hater, Cowboys hater, and now Colts hater, Cowboys senior. How you doing, Cowboys? So you're not a Cowboys hater. See, I got that confused there. Giants hater. But how you doing, Cowboys senior?
Good. Life is good. I'm a football fan. My team's going to the Super Bowl. All the teams I hate are watching it on TV. Life doesn't get any better than that, right?
I understand you have a good steak in your belly before you came to the lounge tonight.
An outstanding steak. Compliments of Cowboy on a Christmas gift he gave us. A little gift card steak that I took my wife out for. It was outstanding. I couldn't be feeling better. Now I'm in the lounge and it's party time.
Absolutely, and it's good that you ate a lot and that you have a lot. You're gonna have a lot of energy because we have a special guest in the lounge tonight. It's his first appearance on the Sports Lounge. Our Commander in Chief, Justin Rosero. How you doing, Justin?
You know, guys, I watched the State of the Union. I am ready to talk economy. I'm ready to talk. You know, everything's going on foreign affairs, and I'm ready to talk about deflation in the economy. So why don't we get into things? And by the way, senior, I didn't know they had steak at McDonald's these days.
Hey, I don't give a McDonald's gift certificate.
When you're running with the Cowboy, it's nothing but first class, Jeff.
That's right.
It's the new steak bagel over at Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, get it right.
That's Wendy's. That's a Wendy's burger.
That would be on the pretzel. The steak on the pretzel, right?
But there you go.
Oh, he comes in here and just insults the host. He steps into the lounge and, man.
Good job. Welcome, Justin.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you.
Right. Good to be here.
You actually fit right in doing that. That seems to be.
There you go.
That's what we do here. So let's get right to it. Deflategate today. So the Patriots beat the Colts over the weekend on Sunday, 45-7. They're ahead 17-7 at halftime. At the half, the balls the Patriots offense were using were inspected and found to be approximately 11 of the 12 balls were 2 pounds or so under the allowed weight. The Patriots proceeded to come out and win the second half 28-0 with the properly inflated balls. And it's really blown up and I'm going to give you my take, and then I'm going to let these guys just go at it. So my take is, I think it's something that, if not everybody does, I think a lot of teams do similar things, right? I think that's why you're not hearing a lot from actual NFL coaches and other NFL quarterbacks and players kind of attacking the Patriots, because nobody wants the NFL to come looking into their shop on this one. So I get all that. I get that it didn't affect the outcome of the game. I think you'd have to be a moron to say that it affected the outcome of the game. With all that said, because of Spygate, I think the Patriots really need to hold themselves to. This is as a Patriots fan, and as just looking at it, you know, looking at it down the middle, Patriots should hold themselves to a higher standard, because they're a team. They really can't afford to have something like this happen, right? It's all the haters, as they say, the haters talk about the Patriots have never won anything since Spygate. They're cheaters. Yada 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 yada. And particularly for this game, I don't understand what type of competitive advantage they needed to beat the Colts, whose ass they kick every time they play them. So I said the Patriots need to hold themselves to a higher standard. They shouldn't be doing anything illegal, just on the off chance that they're caught like this. It sounds like the Colts kind of had this in their back pocket from the last game, that they noticed after one of the interceptions the balls were underinflated and kind of held that. And, you know, so do I think that the Patriots shouldn't be allowed in the Super Bowl? I don't think that's the case. Do I think that, you know, Belichick should get suspended for a year or anything? No, I don't think that's the case. But if it's proven that he was culpable in this, I think punishment is warranted. I would expect the league to come down very hard on them because of all the stuff that happened this year with Ray Rice and the league kind of taking a soft stance, especially Goodell, you know, appearing to take a soft stance with his cronies. So I would expect, if it's proven that he was culpable in this, that he'll miss a game or two next year. They'll probably lose a draft pick or two, and they'll probably have a pretty hefty fine. And I don't necessarily disagree with all that. The Patriots should know better. That's my take. As a Patriots fan, I am disappointed that this is what we're talking about heading into the Super Bowl. I'm going to kick it over to Cowboy Senior, and then you guys just go.
Okay, well, I'll rebut a few things you said. I'll start by saying, yeah, it would be a beautiful thing if Goodell takes a hard stance on 2 pounds of pressure per square inch less in a football, but taking a soft stance on a guy cold cocking his fiance in an elevator and knocking her out cold. I mean, it's a beautiful way where we know what we're going after in the NFL, and I don't. That's why I don't think he's going to take a real hard stance, because that would look absolutely.
Well, yeah, but one of those things, right, affects the game on the field, right? Now, look, I'm not comparing. I'm saying they're completely different realms. Like, I think the punishments should be independent of each other, just because they fucked up royally on Ray Rice and he should have gotten a season or a lifetime, whatever you want to give him, not what he got. I don't think that should impact what happened here, where in theory the on-field game was tampered with.
Yeah, it really did. It really did affect the game. It went from 17-7 to 28-0. I mean,
now listen. I said in theory,
pressure helps us.
Senior. I said in theory. They're tampering with what's going on in the field. Just because the Colts suck doesn't mean they didn't cheat and try and get an advantage, right? Just because they blew doesn't mean that they still didn't. What they did, it wasn't an attempt to alter the outcome of the game. Just because the Colts are awful.
Calling it cheating is, I think, a bit of a reach. So I think that if we could really get inside, and we never will, but we really could get inside, I think any quarterback, and it's been a common practice, any quarterback who wants to can tell his equipment guy, his guy to take care of the balls, and they probably all do. This is the way I like my ball.
But there's only...
I think the league wants the quarterback to have the ball the way they like him, because it's a quarterback-driven league, and it's a good thing if quarterbacks succeed.
Well, there's only one team, though, that keeps getting busted for these things. So if everyone's doing all... Everyone's videotaping, everyone's inflating ball, like everyone's doing all these transgressions, but one team keeps coming up for some reason. I just start to feel like where there's some smoke, there's some fire. So for some reason, this one team always gets banged for these things, and the excuse is, well, everyone's doing it. I haven't seen anyone else get caught for these things.
I'll give you another excuse. Oh. It's because we're the only team, because the Patriots are so successful. If we were
to do right.
Exactly
name another,
right.
Name me another successful team in history that's been dinged because of their success.
Okay, I'll answer this question for me. If this was a game between, I don't know, say the St. Louis Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Rams
in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl?
No,
yeah, I think so.
In any game. In any game. Okay, any other team.
Sure, you got away with it during the season. Yeah, you got away with it during the season in a game that didn't mean anything.
I don't think it's getting away with anything. I think it's just a common practice. I mean, I wish I could get into the officials' room, but I can't. But, and I know the NFL can't say certain things, but I would be willing to bet quite a bit that those guys, that the officials don't put a gauge in the ball. They're okay. It's something that's never been brought up. It's never been an issue. Heck, Brad Johnson admitted that he paid somebody $7,500 to scuff balls up before he quarterbacked in a Super Bowl. Nobody thinks anything of that.
So do you think
Aaron Rodgers admits that he tells his guy to overinflate his balls because he likes to feel better that way.
All right, so
if competitive edge, give me a break.
All right,
I mean,
so if there's no competitive edge.
You're going to tell me this is why the Patriots win. Give me a break.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if there's no competitive edge, you're telling me, and all I hear around here from fans, from analysts, from everyone in this area, is that the great Bill Belichick has full control of everything in Foxborough, what goes on from the top to the bottom. No one can talk the Belichick way, the Patriot way, the greatest GM in history, the greatest coach in history. This guy has it locked down. Brilliant mind. So, you're either telling me he didn't know this happened, right, which is what people are saying. So this is the one thing in the Patriots world that this guy happened to not know. Some rogue 20-year-old ball boy happened to go on his own and do this. Or the other way, he knew what he was doing. But if he's so smart and so great, I doubt he's doing something for no reason, right? So there has to be some benefit here. And it's the same thing that happened with Spygate when everyone was saying, oh, it was just a practice. They didn't gain anything from it. Then why is he doing it? Why is this genius of a man that is so great and so revered in the world of football, and not some dolt like Mike McCarthy or any of these other idiots, a guy that I'm told is a brilliant mind in football? Why is he doing this stuff if there's no benefit to it? And all it is risk. Why do it? Why risk your legacy as a Hall of Fame coach, maybe the greatest coach of all time? Why risk your quarterback's legacy? Arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, top two at least, him and Montana. I mean, and now for what? Every time you talk about Tom Brady being the best quarterback of all time, or Bill Belichick being the best coach of all time, the Patriots dynasty, it's always going to have a yeah, but, or a what if, and an asterisk. And whether it affected the game or didn't, I don't get the hubris and the arrogance that went behind it. And this is why people dislike the Patriots and their fan base, because of what's going on over the last 2 days, where there's no accountability behind it. No one's just admitting what happened. And I find it hard to believe that this guy would go out and do something like this for no benefit, knowing the risk that if he gets popped again, if he gets caught for cheating like he did 6 years ago, that is going to completely tarnish their image.
What do you say, Keith?
I think it's well. Can I chime in here real quick?
Yeah, I was going to say, yes. Keith, we haven't heard from you.
I honestly don't think this has anything to do with Tom Brady or even the grip on the ball for Tom Brady.
I agree.
The forecast was rain. If you take a couple pounds out of the ball is easier to squeeze. It's easier to hold on to. What was the Patriot game plan? Run the ball down Indy's throat.
And if that didn't work,
it's easier for the running back to hold on to, not to be stripped. If Belichick had anything to do with it, it had nothing to do with Tom Brady gripping the ball. It had to do with LeGarrette Blount holding the ball.
I'm on board there.
You know, I that's my opinion. I mean, now, I don't care if that ball had 17 pounds of pressure in it. The Patriots still would have beat the Colts by double digit. You know, I agree there too. I think this is so blown out of proportion. And to answer your question, why is it always the Patriots that get caught? Because the spotlight is on them. Because they're so good. Because they succeed year after year after year. People are trying to figure out why. Why is it that they're so good? Why is it that they dominate the league year after year?
Right, but what other dynasty or great team that was really good has ever had these accusations lobbed at them just because they're in the spotlight?
You think that they're the only good team that's ever used the ball that's not perfect?
No, senior, that's not what I'm saying.
Look at a dynasty in another sport.
You're blaming the spotlight. You're saying the spotlight is what's bringing this on them. When I'm saying there are a lot of other teams in the spotlight that don't get accused of cheating. So I don't think the spotlight is the reason. I think it's because they got caught.
How many other teams can you compare to what the Patriots have done in the last decade?
There's still been successful teams in the past. You can't say beforehand.
Okay. All right. The Steelers.
Dallas. Yep.
I wasn't around in the 70s, but the Steel Curtain, wasn't it about steroids back then with them? Wasn't that the big thing? No, I wasn't around back then, so I don't know.
You were there, right?
If they were accusing other teams as well. But I know when I hear Steel Curtain, first thing I think of is roided up freaks.
Right, and is that because they were roided up or because the spotlight was on them?
Again, that's what I'm asking. I wasn't around in the 70s, so.
I'm guessing
now when I think about that, the Steel Curtain, they were all on steroids, right? So now, was that the talk back in the 70s? Were they talking about every other team or just the Steelers? No, but that's what I mean, though. With back then, what were they talking about? Was it just the Steelers that they were talking about? Is that what brought it to the forefront? You understand what I'm trying to say?
So I think what...
Like now, with the Patriots, look, the Spygate thing, I get it. Belichick was ignorant. He was arrogant. He said, fuck you, I'm going to keep my cameras the same place I've always had them. A lot of coaches have said, we all did that. We all taped. But they were specifically warned, you can't have the cameras on the field. You can have them in the press box if you want, not on the field. And Belichick basically said, fuck you, don't care. Going to keep it here anyway, which is why they got tagged. Fredo, Eric Mangini, dined them out, which is why they got caught, right? And now I'm putting Chuck Pagano in the same category as Mangini, as Fredo, if you will. Sour grapes, man. Come on.
All right,
All
right, so let me ask you this, okay? So we're coming off the 07 Super Bowl, perfect season, Patriots on the line against the Giants, okay? Eli Manning throws that pass. David Tyree catches the ball against his helmet. It comes out 2 days later. One of the Pats noticed the ball felt a little light. And may a couple scientists come on ESPN, do the sports science. I don't think that ball would have stuck to David Tyree's helmet if it wasn't a little deflated. Wow. If it weighed full strength and that made it bounced off his helmet and it's an incomplete pass and the Patriots have their undefeated season, 18-0, 19-0, Super Bowl, and you have that taken from you. You're telling me you wouldn't be pissed and be complaining about it. You're telling me you would bygones be bygones. We all cheat. Yeah, we lost our perfect season in our Super Bowl. We got punched in the face and the gut. But, it's okay because everyone does it. I mean, there's no way you'd be sitting here just saying that.
That was
I know
a
you
one in a million catch. That'll never be duplicated again. I mean, come on.
That would be a cockeyed day. We'd use that as an excuse.
So I think
our team lost. They lost.
I'll use that catch as an excuse.
Huh?
But, I mean, I'll use that catch as an excuse. That's why we lost, because of that.
Right, but what if they had cheated? What if the ball was deflated?
So I think a better comparison, guys, instead of going back and doing hypotheticals like that, is Major League Baseball, right? You have a guy like Alex Rodriguez, okay? I don't think Alex Rodriguez ever actually failed a drug test an official drug test, correct? But everybody knows, and he's widely regarded as a cheater. The teams of his that won, widely regarded as sort of tainted. And I could say everybody was doing it. I mean, we had a guy in Boston who I don't think ever failed a drug test, Shea Hillebrand, who was so clearly on steroids.
I thought you were going to say David Ortiz.
We all know that. Me too.
No. But I'm trying to make a point to that when you're in the spotlight, like the Patriots are, like A-Rod is, like Barry Bonds was, you are held to a higher,
So what about Ryan Braun? Was he in the spotlight?
You're held to a higher. Yeah, he was the fucking MVP. Of course he was in the spotlight. Right?
Is that what you're asking? You can actually equate it to Jason Giambi in the ALCS in 2003, hit two home runs against the Red Sox. And then he was found to be a drug user.
How many home runs did David Ortiz?
I mean, we don't hold it against him.
So, no, we're not talking. That's not the point. So,
hey, can I go in a different direction with baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're talking about balls, okay, we'll look at the greatest, I'll go New York, the greatest baseball dynasty of all time, would be the great Yankee teams. You mean to tell me that human being would believe that they never had a pitcher that doctored a ball up? It's against the rules. I'm sure they had plenty of pitchers who doctored balls up. We're certainly not going to say that that's why they won. We're certainly not going to use that as an excuse as Red Sox fans. I mean,
you sure? Because I heard every excuse in the book before 2004. So you're positive about that?
No, I've never used any excuse. Nah. Your team loses, they lose. Part of the game. Part of the game.
They were just great teams.
People say we got screwed on the Sugar Bear Hamilton call. I remember watching that game. It was definitely a bad call. It definitely was huge. But you know what? There's other ways you could have won that game. I mean,
so
I'm not making excuses. This stuff's part of the game. It happens. And I mean, come on. Even if you really feel strongly that this was, quote, cheating, I mean, come on, this is practice. I mean, if you're on the airways today, this is like an international incident. 2 pounds of freaking air pressure in a football.
It's because of the reputation, Senior. If they hadn't, if they didn't get busted for, it's not the spotlight. If they didn't get busted for Spygate in the past, and if Belichick, you know, didn't spit in the face of the league when they told him stop doing this, and he kept fucking doing it, and then he got busted anyway, you think this would be a big deal? I don't. I don't think it has anything to do with the spotlight. I think everyone loved the Patriots until Spygate. Don't, I mean, you say everyone acts like everyone hates the Patriots, and we can't stand the Patriots. The hatred wasn't that big. And then Spygate came, and everyone's like, well, you know what? Screw these guys. We sat here. We loved Tom Brady. We thought Belichick was a genius. And then they get popped for this. The arrogance behind it more than the cheating is the problem. And then... I'm a Patriots hater. I'm telling you how it is. I mean, how do you love them. I mean, I'm telling you what the reasons are. I mingle with many Patriot haters, Senior. I know the reasons. But everybody
hates every dynasty. I hate it. I've always
see, that's what
Yankees.
I think.
You know? When the Steelers were on top of the world, I hated them. I wanted to beat them so freaking
You still
bad.
Hate them.
Yep. I mean, I still hate them. Yeah, you hate teams
The Bulls with Jordan?
It's normal.
But the Bulls never got accused of cheating.
No, we still hate
them.
No, but I'm just saying, though, everybody hated them. They kept winning and winning and winning. It's like, if you didn't love Michael Jordan, you hated the Bulls.
Yeah, there's a
you
difference.
Couldn't for them to fall to get
people
beat.
Wanted to see the Patriots
same
lose,
thing
but
with
the hatred. The hatred and the disdain didn't come in until the cheating stuff, until Spygate, because everyone felt like their
team
got
hosed. Gave you a reason.
Yeah,
because
of course.
Then
they
it justified your hatred
by getting caught cheating. Yes, and I don't think if Spygate didn't happen, I don't think this would have been nearly as big a deal. But when you have that first transgression, and this happens again, and everyone's like, "What the hell? You just went through this. You didn't learn your lesson." And I'm agreeing with you guys 100%. I don't think it mattered. And that makes it worse. Why do it? I don't understand why he did it, what he had to gain. And all it is being an asshole. And the, you know, the story I heard, Raj, I don't know if it was a little bit different than what you had heard about the Colts had in their back pocket. I heard they actually reported it after the in-season game. So what they were talking about on the radio today and on TV was where the Pats already warned. Like, I'm curious to see if that comes out. Because does that change your guys' view with us at all? If they were told
nothing
after that regular season game?
Nothing said that they were warned. Nothing.
No, I'm asking you. I'm not saying they did. I'm asking you. So if it comes
I'll tell you what. If you tell me that week 12, it happened week 11, right, against the Colts.
Right. And they
so
claimed
if you tell
that they
me in week 12, Roger Goodell said, hey, Bill, you guys are underinflating balls. Stop it.
Right.
Yes, it will change my opinion.
Okay, that's what I'm curious.
Really
that was
will.
One of my questions.
Nothing
here,
like
that's
that has come out.
Well, I honestly, I mean,
it's very
come
hypothetical.
On. I don't think he's...
It's not hypothetical.
Was he arrogant with the camera thing? Yes, he was. And the only reason anybody ever found out is because Eric Mangini was on his staff and knew the workings of Belichick. So he said, hey, guys, hey, check it out. That guy right there, he's videotaping. Ooh, like I said, Fredo. You know what I mean? He dimed him out. He ratted him out. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Like
I get what you're
that
saying.
Never would have,
I don't know.
If Mangini never opened his mouth, it'd still be going on to this day.
Right.
And every coach
this day,
did
yes,
it.
You're pretty much making my point. Yeah. Every coach had stopped because they had been warned before Mangini ratted on Belichick.
No. Did they stop or they just didn't get caught? That's the whole point. They were still doing the same exact things. It's just the Patriots got caught because Mangini opened his mouth.
Get caught. The other teams didn't get turned in. The other teams might have
exactly.
got caught too, but they
right.
didn't get
right.
turned
right.
in.
Right.
Thank you.
Correct.
And right now,
you know,
this is just an opinion.
And
right
the same
now,
thing. Pagano, sour grapes. You guys beat us by 40. Hey, guess what, Mr.
Again,
Goodell?
Now, hang on a sec.
They did it at halftime.
Not even close. They did it. The score was – it was still a close game when they reported it. That's the other fallacy going around here that, oh, it was Sal Grace because they got blown out of the game and they had no chance. That's not even – I mean, they reported it on the interception in the first half. It was a close game.
My feeling is they reported it because they thought it was affecting the game.
It didn't do them any good.
No, of course not. And I don't think anyone – I haven't heard anyone say it's affecting the outcome of the game. I haven't heard that anywhere.
I think the Colts were trying to affect the outcome of the game.
Hey, it did affect the outcome of the game. That's why Brady was still in there with 3 minutes left throwing passes to the end zone.
Good, and that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Do whatever you want.
You want to fucking rat on us? Watch this.
Yeah, sure. Go for it. That doesn't mean they didn't try and cheat and they didn't get caught.
Hey, listen, you know what I love about this? I'm a Patriots fan, okay? You know, unabashed, I'll tell you guys all right now. I remember after Spygate, after that happened, that was week two. What happened after that? The Patriots went on to kick the snot out of everybody they played. Beating teams by 20, 30, 40 points, right? Using that as motivation. The Patriots are going to do the same thing this Super Bowl. Belichick is like smiling right now in his boots. He's going to do what he's going to do with next year. Maybe he gets suspended. Maybe it's a draft pick. Maybe it's a big fine. Who knows?
All three.
But he just got his motivation for this Super Bowl, how to motivate his team. Hey, guys, it was a great season, but I can't doctor the balls for this game, so I guess you guys are going to lose.
Wait, you know what I mean? We got you.
He's gonna put this in that team's head. They're going to smoke Seattle. If you like money,
hey Keith, we're on the Patriots this week. We'll save that for the superhero. For the Super Bowl superhero. That's for you, Ryder. For the Super Bowl. Preview.
Ready? Bills, Bengals, Browns, Dolphins, Redskins, Jets, Dolphins again, Ravens. I see maybe three good teams in 2007 that they really lit up. The rest of the teams piled on shit records. So I think the Seattle Seahawks of 2015 are a little bit different than taking your aggression out on the pathetic Browns.
Let me ask you a question. Did you think that this past season, do you think the Steelers had a good team?
I think they had a good offense.
Okay. They lost to Tampa Bay. They lost to the Jets. They squeaked by a few other shit bum teams.
No, you're missing my point.
They beat the Jaguars. What I'm saying is the Patriots took care of business.
I'm saying there's a difference between saying you can't compare the same with the team they had that year and say, oh, they went and ran through the league and pissed on everyone because they were mad, and say they're going to go in there and beat the shit out of a really, really elite like Seahawks defense. And I just don't think it's a comparison. I think that's just trying to get your hopes up, I think. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to fire them up and that Belichick's not going to use it as motivation.
I don't think that
means a guarantee they're going to march to the Super Bowl.
The host has a couple of questions before Justin has to leave. So very spirited debate, guys.
Hey, Cowboy.
Much appreciated.
Hey, Cowboy, can I get one thing in
I haven't talked to it's
just an aspect of this we haven't touched on. I heard a quote today, and I saw a tweet. It came from the one NFL writer that the Wall Street Journal has. He was at the Senior Bowl with a lot of NFL coaches, and he said that all of the NFL coaches that he spoke to, and the word he used was offended, were offended that this is being made as big a deal out of as it is. And what I'm thinking is, I think the Colts really did themselves a disservice. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be pissed at them because, I'm telling you, athletes are like, something that really won't even make a difference, but things that are mental things with them. Probably a lot of quarterbacks who use balls that weren't quite right because it was an accepted practice, and now this isn't going to go on anymore. Now I'm sure the officials are going to be instructed to make sure they put that gauge in the ball and make sure it's at this standardized pressure.
I wouldn't doubt if they change rules in the
Indianapolis Colts right now because this is going to be enforced.
Can the host ask his questions yet?
Hang on, because I just want to retort that really quick because
no, the host can't ask.
All right, ask your question.
So I'm listening to all of this, and I think everybody's almost on the same. I don't even know what you guys are arguing about, frankly.
Oh, not arguing.
So I get Justin. I'll ask you first. Do you think the Patriots won their Super Bowls because they cheated and would not have won them otherwise?
Nope.
No, as in?
I don't believe that. I think they. I think everything went the way it would have gone.
Okay. Good. See? Senior, do you agree with that?
Obviously, 100%.
So this is more of a perception.
I think the Giants cheated.
Senior, senior, do you think the Patriots' legacy is tarnished at all because of the two cheating scandals?
Probably with some people who would hate him anyway.
With
but,
you, senior. With you, senior.
Not even in the least.
So do you feel the exact same
and
way?
And you shouldn't. You shouldn't give a shit. But that doesn't mean no one else isn't going to, and that majority isn't going to look at it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, I feel the same way as you would. I know you don't. I'm not saying you should.
See, but I'm a
rat's ass. Just a majority thing.
I'm a Pats fan, and I root for the Patriots, and I'm a huge Patriots fan. But I would answer yes to both of those questions, or no to the first. I think the games went the way they should. I think this game went the way they should. I don't think any cheating, quote unquote, had any impact on the games. At the same time, I really wish they wouldn't have gotten caught because it certainly does tarnish things. The same way as Justin would probably answer those same two questions the same way about his 2009 Yankees, correct?
All right, they got caught. Cowboy, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you ever had a couple of drinks and then drove your car?
Sure, yep. I got a DUI.
Have you ever? Oh, you have one?
Yep.
Was that the one and only time you ever had a couple of drinks and drove?
After I got the first DUI, yes.
Okay.
This is the worst thing.
But before
heard this,
that,
I heard this
before that, though, you did it, right? You did it, and you got away with it.
Yep, but he still was breaking the law and
they
cheating.
They all do it.
Right, but once
if
you get
caught. If you're
not
cheating, you're not trying. Every
if you
coach.
Get caught, though, if you get caught, you got to deal with it. And you have to know that, you know what, Roger, you were fucking wrong. You were dumb for getting a DUI, driving drunk.
Correct.
And if you get a second one, you're even fucking stupider. And you deserve a harsher punishment. And they got their second DUI. I don't care if everyone does it. They got busted again a second time because they didn't learn after the first time. And senior, for your other point about other teams and coaches not speaking up, I don't think they need to. I think they can shut up and look like the innocent people now because it's already out there. They know. If you're John Harbaugh, of course you're not going to say anything. Because you know what? It's already out there. Why am I going to put my name, let the Colts take the heat? But I'm sure they all feel the same way. After what you've heard about how everyone dislikes Belichick and the Patriots because of all the shit they do and everything else, you're telling me they're not loving this? Of course they're loving
it. No, not at all.
Not if you're a quarterback who likes the Patriots, and now it's not going to happen anymore.
Right.
You took my point wrong. I'm saying I'm a quarterback. Yeah. I'm on another team. And I like my ball with a little
you
bit of
this
a different
guy
inflation.
You said this guy
now,
interviewed coaches.
Now it's not going to happen anymore.
Well, you said the guy interviewed coaches.
I think the NFL is going to take this out of the team's hands now. The balls won't be.
But you're telling me it doesn't matter.
Tended to by the teams anymore.
I've been
now
told
it's
all
gonna
day
be
that
the league's going to bring the ball.
Good.
Take
I've been
the ball
told
and
all
deal
day.
With it.
I've been told all day. That it doesn't matter. It's only 2 pounds. Who cares? What's it affect? The guy can carry the ball regardless. They would have carried a beach ball. They would have spiked everything. I've been told since this all broke that it doesn't matter. So who gives a shit? Why would these quarterbacks be mad? If it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect the game at all. Why do they care?
Because because it takes them a little out of their comfort zone. They've been doing it their whole life.
There you go.
They haven't. This just started not that long ago. It hasn't been their whole life.
I mean,
this is relatively new.
That's like Major League Baseball saying, you know
since
what?
They've started throwing a ball.
More playing time.
They've always been allowed to have it at their preference.
Right. It's like baseball saying, you know what? You guys can't use pine tar anymore.
You told me earlier it doesn't matter, pine tar.
It does.
Right, but it's what I'm trying to say. This is like. Them saying,
it's
you know
illegal,
what?
But
hey,
it's accepted. It's
because Michael Pineda had pine tar on his neck, that's it. No more pine tar. Nobody can use pine tar anymore.
No, that's not really.
That's what just happened.
But they're all still using pine tar because that wasn't made into an international.
Pineda was a fucking idiot for doing it a second time, right?
Well, not
when
for
the
doing
spotlight
it,
was already on him?
It. Well, for flaunting it. Not for doing it. If he would have did it like everybody else does and hit it a little bit, he would have never even called him on. He would have never been called on.
And you know what? If Chuck Pagano didn't open his fucking mouth.
Go off on his neck. I mean, it's an accepted procedure. It's completely accepted. And I think this was the same kind of thing. It was an accepted procedure, and now it can't be accepted anymore.
It won't be anymore.
And I think some guys aren't going to be happy about it. I'm sure some guys aren't happy with the Colts about it. I'm sure there's some quarterbacks out there, man, I'm used to having my ball a little squeezier or a little firmer. Now I can't get into that comfort zone anymore.
Yeah, well, Eli Manning was on the record. Eli Manning likes his balls rubbed up like a practice ball. He wants them all, you know. He wants his footballs.
I know a host of another show.
And all fucked up.
I know a host of another show that would gladly help him soften those up.
So here, so guys, again, spirited debate. My feeling is it's a shame that this is what we're talking about. It's a shame that this is what we're talking about, that we're not talking about what, you know, the two best teams in the NFL this year playing in what, you know, historically is going to be is an important Super Bowl for Brady's legacy and the Seahawks trying to repeat. There haven't been that many repeat Super Bowl. We're not talking about that incredible comeback by Seattle against Green Bay. Instead, we're talking about the balls, right? And so as a Patriots fan, I really wish they wouldn't have done it. Senior and Keith, do you agree with that?
I agree.
Senior, do you wish they wouldn't have done it, or you just?
I don't know. I'm telling you.
I wish they wouldn't have got caught on that.
Procedure that was no big deal, and that I wish the Colts wouldn't have been such wusses.
Hey, I got a
Justin, do you wish they wouldn't have done it?
No, I'm glad they did it.
I know. That was over tour.
But the Colts being wusses thing annoys me, too, because
to talk about.
If they didn't say anything, if they didn't report it after that in-season game, and now they did, aren't you pissed off like that? Say they said, okay, we let it go once, and now here you are doing it again, impeding our way to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I know it didn't matter. I know they sucked anyway. But in a close game, this guy picks off the ball, and he's like, fuck you guys. We let you get away with it once, and now we're trying to get to the Super Bowl. And here you are doing it again.
See, I don't think that's okay. Well,
the fact that they noticed it then, you don't. If it really is a noticeable thing, you don't think any other team ever noticed it? You think we only did it? You think
sure.
They only had the ball
even
a little softer when they played the Colts?
Taken in a vacuum.
That's the way
Justin.
He liked the balls. He had them that way every game. And
no, I think he had them his whole career like that.
It's not the kind of thing you turn somebody in on because of it.
I don't think it's that either, Senior. So where I'm sitting, I'm thinking, well, what if it was Belichick who caught another team doing that? What would he do? He would wait or if he was down 17-7 in the AFC title game, he might take that rabbit out of his pocket and try to affect the outcome of the game. I mean, you could say it is a wussy kind of thing to do, and I mean, I don't agree with it, but I mean, I think if Bill would have had that on the Colts and could have used it to his advantage, he would have done it. And I think that if that makes the most sense to me is the Colts had this and they knew it, and once they're down and they think, well, it's 17-7, if we make these balls not comfortable for Tom Brady, well, mm-hmm. maybe we can win this half 17-7.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
But that is more plausible than...
Well, the wussy strategy backfired on him.
It did.
Yeah, but, sure, of course. It sucked, that's why. I mean,
I got something that just came across here. Fox Sports' Jay Glazer reports the Ravens tipped off the Colts about the Patriots' alleged practice of deflating footballs. That just came on, I guess, off Twitter from Jay Glazer. The NFL reportedly plans to test the Patriot footballs at halftime, entering the AFC Championship game. There is still debate about whether a team will truly benefit from deflating the balls among the NFL's types. Either way, it's clear that opponents have noticed a difference in the air inflating balls from the Patriots.
There you go.
And what better?
Everyone does
what
it.
Better?
So
what
the
better
Ravens tipped
to do
off the Colts.
Everyone does it.
And I mean, I think to a point, the Colts will be slightly vilified for this. If you do have other quarterbacks that are doing similar things, now they're not going to be able to do it anymore. Peter King was calling today from the time the refs have the balls and they test the balls, that it doesn't go to the ball boy until 120 seconds before kickoff, and that they put metal detectors on the room so that the ball boy can't bring a needle in and all this stuff. And they're going to adopt something like that. And if
it's actually common,
it's going to be like the K-ball.
They should.
They're just going to hold them all like the K-balls, like they do now. That's
and if
all,
you're
all.
If you're a quarterback, who is used to doing, you know, who's used to being able to do something like this, yeah, you're going to be pissed at the Colts. Just like if you were a team that was taping, like I'm sure Belichick didn't make all this stuff up out of thin air, you know. So if you're a team that was taping, you probably don't like Mangini. But at the end of the day, when you're on the top of the hill, you are held to that higher standard. Just like, you know, Barack Obama doing something in public is a lot different than anyone talking to.
I'd argue they're to a higher standard because they got caught before. And they should have been smarter about it. I don't care if everyone's doing it.
It's not the same incident. It's nothing even close. I mean, hey, look, Chuck Pagano is Jose Canseco to me. That's what he is right now. You know, he dimed it out.
And Jose ended up being absolutely correct, 100%.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Pagano's probably correct. They were deflating the balls. Okay. But now no one will ever be able to do it again.
That's not
true. So it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect everybody.
People
from here on out.
All right, guys. Listen, this has been a great time. We're going to do it again. Go Friars. I'll see you at Uno.
Thanks, Justin, for joining us. Very good.
It was a pleasure chatting, my friend.
Great having you on.
All right, guys.
Talk to you later, Justin.
All right, Keith.
All right. Good debate there, guys. So I think we're just going to do an hour tonight because this was such a hot topic that I wanted to do most of the show with this. And I knew you guys were all going to come. I knew you guys were going to come.
Are you still recording?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we're still recording. And,
I thought you went to break there, and then we were just bullshitting about what happened.
Nope. But this is good for the outtakes. Justin enjoys using outtakes of me when I'm on his podcast.
That's right. So. Well, this is
nice.
Okay.
Go in the other room and yell at Megan.
All right.
Fuck over there. They cheated.
All right.
Thanks,
all right, guys.
Thanks
seriously.
Again for joining us, Justin.
All right.
Yeah, it was fun.
Take
see
care,
you.
Justin.
See you tomorrow night, Keith. Nice talking to you, man.
All right. Look forward to it, man.
All right, guys.
All right. We're just gonna keep rolling, guys. Sorry to the listeners.
Rock and roll, baby.
That was a little clunky. Right there, but that's all right. So yeah, spirited
right.
debate.
All
I think it's what you know. The fascinating thing about this debate is it's one of these debates where there's really no right or wrong, and both sides have pretty good arguments. And it's just a matter of that's why I said it's a matter of perception. Which lens are you looking at it through? And you guys were clearly looking at it through different lenses, but I think the regular loungers held up well. Under that onslaught, so good job.
I mean, I don't know, man. It bothers me so much that this is such a big deal. I mean, you're talking about fucking air pressure in a ball. Half the league is on steroids, and this is what the fuck gets the public riled up.
I know. I was going to as a Pats fan, I was going to start talking about the Seahawks doing steroids, and then realize that we have Browner. Now, who?
Well, that's all right. Hey, listen.
He didn't do it here.
Half the Patriots are probably on steroids, too. I got news for you. They just don't get caught. That's all.
Well, the league's, the league's drug testing policy is a complete joke and everything.
It's a joke. They just introduced the HGH testing, right?
Yeah, in very limited.
You know, when that whole Ray Rice shit was going on. Come on, they probably handpick five guys, and they tell them 2 weeks ahead of time, next Monday, you're going to be tested. Don't be stupid.
Bigger,
you know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, that's
such a joke.
Those are pretty libelous accusations. I don't think they actually
inform
the guys. But it's
No. Listen, I'll put it to you this way. Think about playing football. Have you guys, I'm sure, you're athletic guys, right? You've probably played Sunday mornings. With your friends, you go to the park and
play
2 hours, 3 hours,
every
football.
Tackle I football. A little bit of football.
Okay. How do you feel the next day?
Sore. Beat up.
Right. And you're not playing against 300-pound gorillas that are fucking drilling you on every play with a helmet on. you're playing against, you know, your buddies, you know, you're rugby tackling each other, right? Basically. Think about what the abuse these guys take. Week in and week out. How do you think they feel by week 8, 9, 10? Are you kidding me? They got to be on something to recover from that.
Toradol.
They have to. Oh, man.
But that's
some kind of major...
But,
I mean, come on, man. Not just painkillers, man. No way. I'm sorry. I mean, the abuse those guys take,
I know.
They have to be on something. They have to be.
You know, it's a blanket statement. I'm sure not every guy in the league's on steroids.
No, no. I'm not saying everybody, but...
There are some, just like in baseball, there were some, and you know. But regardless, that's not what I wanted to talk about. So I wanted to break down the two games. Not really look to the Super Bowl, because we're going to do a nice, big Super Bowl preview next week that everyone should tune into. We're going to try to bring back some previous guests, get their takes on the Super Bowl. Hopefully, maybe even Justin will join us and, you know, tell us how much he thinks Seattle's going to win by. But I want to talk first about the, you know, because as I said, lost in all this was a phenomenal game between the Packers and the Seahawks, where we did not lounge last week. I was a little under the weather, but I can say with pretty good certainty that the three of us would have picked the Seahawks to win, probably going away. I mean, coming into the conference title games, it looked like they were possibly the two most lopsided conference title games you could have. Like I thought there was a good chance both home teams would win by 20-plus points. And the Seattle game just didn't go that way. I mean, Seattle played the worst game I've seen them play, you know, in the Carroll era, basically, right? I mean, they did everything in their power to give that game away. And the Packers just didn't take it. Now, I mean, I said this. I know this has been the running theme of this game. I said this while the game was going on, that I thought that the moves Mike McCarthy made were going to come back and bite him in the ass. Like,
yep.
Fourth and goal from the one, twice. You don't go for it either time. I mean, it's,
yep.
It was, and then acting like the game was in the bag. The guy doesn't try to run back the pick. They run the ball into the line. I mean, why it should have never even come down to the onside kick. It really should have never come down to the onside kick. But with all that said, Seattle showed some true championship heart there, coming through and winning that game. And the biggest play in the game, I think, was the 2-point conversion. That ridiculous 2-yard Hail Mary 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Because if they don't catch that, Rodgers did. When Rodgers got the ball back, I was texting with somebody and I said, MVPs tie this game up. MVPs tie this game up. And he's on one leg, and he went out there and he tied that game up.
And he did it.
Against the best
yep.
defense in football, in the most hostile environment in football, with all the momentum going against him. That was an impressive drive. And
sure
that
was.
Drive should have been to win the game. It should have been to win the game.
Yeah. See, I don't know how Clinton Dix was thinking on that 2-point conversion.
Man. I mean, just a bunch of. I mean, they played like a poorly coached team at the end. I mean, they really did.
They did.
Senior,
yeah,
what was your
they
take?
Choked.
Well, my take on the game, for most of the game, I was watching it with my brother, and we were saying through the majority of that game that if you would have told me this was a regular season game between two teams that are going to go 2-14 and 3-13. The majority of that game, I would have believed it. It was really, let's be honest. I mean, there's no way you're going to see that Seahawks team again or that Packer team again. These teams are much better than what they played. I don't know what happened, but it was a comedy of turnovers, not just penalties, but stupid penalties at the most inopportune time. I mean, Russell Wilson probably had the worst, or he did have the worst half of football in probably postseason history. Throwing three picks, and I believe he passed for 17 yards in the first half. There's a play where at the beginning of the game where on one of the picks, the ball gets returned to the 2-yard line, and an idiot on Green Bay takes a personal foul, and now they got the ball on the 17 instead of the 2.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, those fourth down situations, from the one of them was in, I think the first one was in, more like the half-yard line or the one-foot line, and he kicks a field goal, whoever. You're in a championship game, and you're kicking a field goal when you're 1 foot away from the end zone.
Especially, seeing when you consider, what's the worst that happens there is you get stopped, and now they have the ball at the half-yard line. I mean, stupid.
Yeah, and
so
as good as that
Seattle
D is, they are somewhat vulnerable to the run, and Leafy was having a lot of success running the ball. You need to get a foot, or you need to get a yard. Come on, of course you're going to go for it. I know those are just decisions, but the play was so sloppy. And as bad as Seattle was playing, you know, Green Bay was not doing much to take advantage of it. They turned it over a couple of times themselves. They made those dumb decisions. They committed a lot of stupid penalties. It was just a poorly played game. And then the last 5 minutes, if you're a Seattle fan especially, were really, really exciting. It was really something to watch. They definitely showed some heart. Believe me, we all talk about what fans we are. I mean, we know where this podcast is from. You know where I'm from. I'm a Patriot fan. I was certainly rooting for Green Bay because I thought it was a better matchup for the Pats. I couldn't believe that they didn't win the game. But, yeah, give Seattle credit. I got another strategy move by McCarthy or the defensive coordinator or whatever. At that point of the game, you're in overtime when a touchdown beats you where the ball was. And, you know, if you make the team move the ball, there's a chance at least you're going to stop them holding the field goal and you're going to get the ball back. To not play anybody at deep safety.
Cover zero.
And allow this one eye and let them get the touchdown that way was just the most ridiculously bad strategy I've ever seen in my life.
When was the last time you saw that strategy in the playoffs, senior? But it was a great day for you.
Was that Pittsburgh against Denver?
Tim Tebow to Demaryius Thomas. That was the last time.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember seeing that going, you fucking morons.
Yep. Hey, it's a crossing.
The only play that could ever beat you is that one. We couldn't beat you any other way besides that.
And so, Keith, I know
you're in that game, and we're saying, man, our Pats would be kicking the crap out of either one of these teams. And I'm saying, what I'm saying, my brother, is, yeah, but whoever comes out of this game isn't possibly going to play that poorly again.
For the most part,
that game, for the great majority of the game, both teams laid a huge egg. I mean, if either team would have came out and just played a decent football game, it would have been a rout.
Particularly so.
And I don't know why it happened. I have no idea why the play was so bad. Sometimes you say, well, you know, you could say that team's playing poorly, but it's because of what the other team's doing. This wasn't the case here. It was the interceptions were just really poorly thrown balls. The penalties were just bonehead, stupid penalties at the most inopportune time. It was an exciting finish to a really awful played football game. That was my view of that game. It was like a game between a 2-14 team and a 3-13 team until the end. And Seattle did some great things, and Green Bay did some more stupid things. But that's my view of that game, basically.
I mean,
when you call it a fabulous game, competitive-wise, close, and then the great finish and everything, it's an exciting game.
Well, it was exciting to watch, but it's
certainly not. Yeah. It's certainly not anything that not a film that we want to put
not
in the time
for the, not one for the purists, as they say. So
no.
So, Keith, no. you've been pretty vocal all season in your support of Seattle, and it took a little bit, but you eventually proved right in the second half of the year, where the cream really has risen to the top. And I mean, they played the worst possible game they could have played and still won. And you can't expect them to come out and play like that again. I mean, I don't think that's a realistic expectation. But what did you see? Did you think it was just they maybe came in a little overconfident because they kicked the shit out of Green Bay earlier, or just not too hyped up? What do you think?
Well, the first drive, I think Green Bay just had a great, you know, game plan coming in, and you know, they kind of picked them apart all the way down the field, and they got down to the goal line, and they kicked the field goal. And then you had the turnover, you know, short field. Any defense, I mean, they held them to 3 points, right? You know, off the short field. I mean, maybe it's because their defense has the reputation. McCarthy said, hey, we're not going to play around. Let's put the points on the board. Look, you always hear coaches say the difference between touchdowns in the red zone and field goals is wins and losses. You saw it right there on display. They kicked three field goals where they should have been touchdowns, right? Had one of those plays, those fourth and goals, been a touchdown, we're not talking about this right now. Green Bay wins. But because they kicked the field goals, they allowed Seattle to stay in that game. And then, boneheaded mistake, Morgan Burnett, what are you thinking when you intercept the ball? There's, what, 4.5 minutes left, 5 minutes left?
Yeah.
You got open field in front of you. It's not like, you know, you're surrounded by defenders. I understand that. When you're surrounded by defenders, yeah, hey, go down. We don't want to fumble the ball. Dude, you got green space in front of you. You could have ran for 20 yards. Put him back in field goal range. They kick a field goal. They win the game. He goes down. I heard Julius Peppers is the one that told them to get down, get down. I don't know what they were thinking there. And then the onside kick with Bostic, I mean, he flubbed that thing up. But Seattle's the, you know, look, Green Bay is a team that, you know, notoriously puts up 30 points a game, right? They held them pretty much in check. I mean, actually, I shouldn't even say that, because the final score didn't Green Bay dominated most of that game, but they didn't, like I said, they didn't convert into touchdowns. They kicked field goals. You can't beat a team like that kicking field goals.
Yeah, and I mean, they didn't they didn't dominate. I don't feel like Green Bay's offense dominated the Seattle defense. I mean, Keith, I mean, but how many chances did they get? I mean, with all the turnovers, I mean, that's right. The Jacksonville Jaguars out there. If you give them the ball freaking eight times in a quarter, they're going to score twice.
Not only giving the ball, but in their territory.
Give them the ball on your side of the field.
Every time.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one that I consider real stupid. Right out of the chute, if you remember Green Bay's first possession, they're on the 30-yard line, which is, in this day and age, which is points, okay? That's field goal you're normally
That's field goal range, yeah.
Yeah, and on third down from the 30, Rodgers throws that pick where he went after Richard Sherman. Okay, and I don't have a problem with saying, Richard Sherman, we're not going to shy away from you. We're going to go after you on that throw down the sideline to the end zone. But it was Devontae Adams. Sherman.
Yeah, Adams. Why will you go to your number three receiver? Yeah.
When he's on Sherman. You know what I mean? Now your number one and your number two are being covered by lesser guys. You're gonna go after Sherman when you've got the situation where you want, where he's got your number three. This is beautiful. Sherman's on Adams.
Right.
This is a nice setup. We're going the other way. No, this is when I'm going to test Sherman, and it was an easy interception. It was just a terrible throw. That's 3 points he took off the board. That's a big 3 points. The game was just I don't know. I don't know if there was something in the air, but there's a lot of stupid stuff going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on that play there, Senior, I mean, maybe you, I don't know, I don't want to say you're overthinking it, but, you know, maybe that's what you're thinking. Maybe you catch Sherman I'm covering Adams on this play. They're not coming to him. You know, and it's like a okie doke kind of thing, you know? Who knows? But, that was a bad throw. It was a bad throw, too, as well. You know, never mind. It's not like Sherman made a great play.
He threw it right to him. You know, these guys are conditioned to, if you got one-on-one down the field.
Right.
You got to take shots. You have to take shots. Right. I didn't have a huge problem.
That's not the matchup you're looking for, though.
If that was Jordy Nelson, you understand it. Because maybe he makes a play on the ball. Devontae Adams is the type of receiver if you throw it to him, he'll catch it. He's not going to fight Richard Sherman for the ball. Not going to happen. He's not that good of a receiver. He's not Dez Bryant. You know what I mean?
Obviously. Right. All right, the last game we want to talk about, other than the underinflated footballs, is Patriots-Colts. I don't know. There's not a whole lot to say about this one. It was just like the others, except just a little bit worse, I guess. I mean, I had all the confidence in the world that the Patriots, you know, that the Patriots were going to run right through this team. And it's kind of the same reason that the Baltimore scared me as a Patriots fan is sometimes you just have a team's number, and the Patriots have the Colts' number in a big, big, big way. And it starts with them being unable to stop the run, right? It's no matter who the running back is, whether it's LeGarrette Blount, whether it's Jonas Gray, or whether it's LeGarrette Blount and Stephen Ridley like it was last year, it's no matter who the Pats give it to, they're going to run for 200 and something yards against that defense every single time. And so if you're the Colts, where do you go from here? Because they seem, I mean, the win against Denver aside, they're a team that tends to beat bad teams and lose to good teams. And I don't know if Denver, that incarnation of Denver, was a good team. Like, I think Denver lost that game more than the Colts really won that game. And I think if that Denver team would have come into Foxborough, the result would have been very, very similar. So the Colts,
I think the Colts, the Broncos were hurting. Peyton Manning's not right. Hasn't been right in 5-6 weeks.
Clearly.
So,
and they're not, you know, for whatever reason, the Broncos weren't able to run it down their throats like the Patriots were. But
Game plan. They didn't try.
It's a silly game plan to not do that against Indy, right? I mean, it's crazy.
True. I mean, come on, you know. And to be honest, I think C.J. Anderson's a much better running back than LeGarrette Blount. You know? I mean,
he's more versatile. He catches the ball better.
Him and Hillman combined, along with the play-action pass that Peyton throws in your head, you know, I think that's poor coaching, in my opinion.
Agreed. It's tough to say
the way the Patriots put that big package in there with the extra offensive linemen, but the Colts just can't handle that. It doesn't. The fact that Anderson's better than Blount is kind of inconsequential. No matter, I mean, we could put you back there, Schmitty, carrying the ball, and you'd rush for over 100 yards. I mean,
hey, man, I'm better than Trent Richardson, I'll tell you that right now.
They were just moving them. I mean, Blount was setting up one big hell of a head of steam before anybody was even touching him.
Yeah, he was.
He
made some impressive runs, too. I mean,
for the game plan.
Some of them cutbacks.
For that game plan, he's the perfect back. I mean, I'd rather have him back there than just about anyone in the league. Maybe Lacy, honestly.
Similar.
LeGarrette Blount is impossible to bring down. If he can run for 5 yards without getting touched, he is difficult
to bring
down.
It's hard to bring him down after that.
And he's shifty.
Yeah.
It's where he runs into problems. Yeah. He's not the kind of guy who, you know, who's going to bounce it outside and stuff like that. If you can blow open a little hole for him, I mean, he's as good as anybody. I mean, he's a horse. And he's pretty, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a, yeah. And I think.
Yeah, if you look back to the week before against Baltimore, they got him in the backfield before he got going. They just brought him down. He never got going against them, which is why they were successful against them. Like you're saying, with Indy, you know, if he gets those 2-3 steps and he gets that momentum going, he's a fucking horse, man. Hard to bring him down after that.
And the funny thing about the Patriots is that for all the accolades that Brady gets, and for all the numbers that the passing game puts up, to beat the Patriots, you have to stop the run. And that's where Baltimore...
Make them one-dimensional.
That's where Baltimore has been successful against the Patriots, and that's where the Jets have been successful against the Patriots. It sounds crazy, but you make Tom Brady beat you. Because if you let that running game get going, the Patriots will kick your ass.
It makes Brady better, just opens everything up for Brady. Yeah, when they can run the ball, they're a machine.
And that, not to give...
As a matter of fact...
Go ahead, Senior. Keith.
I think we should talk about that game, the Baltimore game. That was a great game. We haven't lounged since then. That was fantastic.
Man.
That might be one of the best games I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, as far as the Patriots game, I mean, I think it's pretty... Number two to the Tuck Rule game, I think. But that's it for me. I mean, including as far as just being a great game like that, you know, I get the Super Bowl against the Rams, of course, but a Super Bowls aside, because of the, you know, it was an awesome game. So yeah, we haven't talked a lot about that. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back, because yeah, I have a few things to say, particularly to Senior, about that game. So we'll take a quick break, then we'll spend about 20 minutes talking about that game, and we'll be right back. So Hellboy out.
Sounds good.
Just for a minute.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me.
Before I came up in the game, the hoes didn't show no love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler cause my dollars weren't swollen up. I bet they changed their mind when them 84s come rolling up. They see that I'm a star, now they wanna sit in my car. Now they wanna call my G's, smoke my weed and sip my bar. Now they used to love to diss me, now they rush to hug and kiss me now. They telling all their friends when I leave how they miss me now. 281-330-8004. Hit Mike Jones up on the low cause Mike Jones about to blow. Before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Yeah, I said before the ice was in my grill. Before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Yeah, I said before the ice.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge. I hope you enjoyed the break. So, yeah, we wanted to discuss Ravens-Patriots. What a game. What a game. Cowboy Senior, I was looking at Twitter during that game, and you know, people were just taking shots at you left and right, particularly your Patriot fan brethren, saying, you know, to give you guys a little bit of a backdrop, I was with Cowboy Senior during the Ravens Steelers first round game, and Cowboy Senior might as well have had a Ray Lewis jersey on. His hate for the Steelers shone through to the point high fives around the bar for when Flacco does something good. Go get him, T Sizzle. All this stuff. Dad, Senior, you know? Are you sure you want to play this team? The Patriots will kill this team. And then we had Rob Carpenter on the week before the game.
Yep.
Rob Carpenter, and at this point I'm getting nervous because I see a lot of experts picking the Ravens. Rob Carpenter, former NFL receiver, picks the Ravens, gives us some real good reasons why. And, you know, Senior, it seemed like, seemed like for a while there that your hate for the Steelers may have ruined the Patriots season. Why don't you walk us through how you were feeling when the Ravens went up 14-0 in the first quarter?
Well, I was still reiterating the same thing I said all along, that if we can't come back and beat this team, then what? You know, like I said, our goal isn't to advance in the playoffs. This is the Patriots. We had the best record in the AFC. Our goal is to be Super Bowl champions. If we can't beat the Ravens on our home field, then we're not Super Bowl champions. They made it real tough on us, but I still think that this Patriot team is a Super Bowl championship team. To do that, they had to beat the Ravens, and they did it. And I felt all along they were going to do it. Maybe I was a little concerned when they fell behind, but I certainly wasn't giving up on them. And I certainly would have said, oh, if it happened, well, then we weren't a Super Bowl team. There's no way I can root for the Steelers. You know, if it would have looked strategically like it was better for the Patriots if the Steelers lost, I guess I would have had to not watch the game. You can think stuff like that. It's kind of like being a Red Sox fan. There was a few years back where the Yankees could have helped us by beating somebody in a series. I think it was Tampa Bay or something, and the Yankees weren't a threat. But if I turn the games on, I can't root for the freaking Yankees. I don't care what it means. I'm watching. It's in my blood. I just root against them.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing with the Steelers. I turn it on, I see Big Ben and all these clowns, and I'm like, oh, man, I want them to lose so freaking bad. I loved every minute of the Ravens kicking their butts, I admit it. And look at what it gave us. It gave us one of the greatest playoff games we're ever going to see. And if we want to talk about number 12 of the Patriots, I mean, I've seen
balls of steel, baby.
Played. I've been a Patriot fan. I don't think he's ever played a better game than he played in that game, because if you look at the numbers he put up, my memory serves me correct, it was 367 yards passing. Just a great performance, and he did it without really being protected real well. He took an absolute beating in that game, a massive pounding. And he still put up those numbers under the heat of that rush. You saw that competitive fire, and even when they were behind and they put the camera on him a couple of times in the second half, I said, look at that look. He's got that look today. He had that look in his eyes. That guy was
determination.
I was just so proud of him. I mean, I'm so glad he's our quarterback. There's no better leader, nobody more fiery, nobody that can put it on his back like he did in that game. That might have been his greatest moment. He was just incredible in that game. So, hey, everybody who didn't want to see it, we would have been cheated out of seeing such a great game.
Thank you, yeah. Cowboy Savior.
If the freaking Steelers would have won. And then probably in State would have never happened either, because I don't think we would have ended up. We would have played Indy the first week. That's right. I was going to say the Steelers would have beat them. But isn't that the way it would have worked out? The Steelers would have played Denver, and we would have had Indy. That's right. So we would have had Inflategate a week earlier. My bad. Because really, Indy had the perfect recipe to get to the championship game with the two teams they played. Really, if they would have played any other playoff teams, they would have probably lost. Playing Cincy and playing Denver with Peyton in the condition he was in, I think the other teams in the playoffs, even the Steelers, would have probably been better.
Cincy
than
without AJ Green.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
And Jermaine Gresham. Don't forget the tight end was out of that game too.
So they had,
hey, you know, I was looking this up. You know what? You know what? Jermaine Gresham has the distinction of being the only tight end taken ahead of Rob Gronkowski in the draft.
No shit.
Look it up. Yeah, I had forgotten about it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh wow, what a whiff!
Nice, wow, huh?
Yeah, but, great draft. It's almost as bad as Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan.
So, Senior and Keith, I'll ask you this: the Steelers thing, it has to go back to the 70s. I mean, we've dealt with it all season. The normally kind of down the middle analysis, except when it came to Pittsburgh. I mean, it has to go back to the 70s. Because I can't stand, I mean, if I try to be objective on the show and talk, I despise the Ravens. I don't like Ray Lewis. I can't stand him. And like
Ed Reed. And,
all of them. Especially because they beat the Patriots, you know? Like, I mean, if we never play them in the playoffs again, it'll be soon enough for me. So they're the team, when I watch, I cannot stand them. And I root for everybody over them.
If you ask me who the Patriots' rival is,
it's not the
Jets. It's not the Broncos. It's not the Colts. It's the Ravens. Because every time we play them in a meaningful game, it's a good game. And matter of fact, they've beaten us a few times. So that's the Patriots' true rival right there. It's the Ravens. And Joe Flacco, for whatever reason, when he's got the Patriots on the schedule, he plays like a Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame type quarterback. He doesn't do that against anyone else.
Right up until when
just
he does
New England.
Right up until when
just
he does
New
it.
England. I mean, it's unbelievable.
In the postseason period, he's been great in the postseason period. If they get to the playoffs, all of a sudden he transforms into a different guy.
Right, most of the time in the playoffs, who are they playing? They're playing the Patriots. He plays great.
He played a pretty good game against the Steelers the week before too.
True. But any quarterback plays well against the Steelers. They suck.
How can you not show some respect to a team whose primary number one receiver has a name like Senior?
Senior.
A little respect.
Hey, is that guy a fucking beast or what, man?
Yeah,
he's one of the oldest players in the league, right, at his position. And he is just beast mode.
Yeah,
he's amazing. I love Steve Smith. I love that guy. I mean, Reggie Wayne is what? Same age, right? If not a little older, maybe.
Shell out there. Hey, it looks like
Reggie Wayne. He's nothing like he was. Right? Yeah, no, Reggie Wayne's done. He's done. But what I'm saying is Reggie Wayne's a Hall of Fame receiver. Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I don't know what you guys think, but I think he's a Hall of Fame receiver.
Oh, definitely.
But he fell off the map, like, boom. Like, all
of
a sudden.
It's tough for receivers
halfway through this year, he fell off. He was done.
Yeah, he's
Steve Smith still going strong, man. I mean, Darrelle Revis is probably the best corner in the league, if not top three, right? Maybe Sherman, maybe Peterson.
Played a hell of a game against
The second half, I think Revis controlled them. But the first half, I mean, he just did what he wanted to. That touchdown catch.
He's one of those fierce competitor guys. He's got a little bit of that little guy syndrome in him. You know, he is a tough SOB.
That touchdown catch, I mean.
But that probably helps.
That touchdown catch looked easy, but it wasn't, man. He had to control that ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Revis was like caught off guard, like, well, I got this. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't. You know, he pitter-patted to himself. Boom. What a great receiver he is. I love that guy, Steve Smith. I'm telling you. Yeah. And it's a perfect fit for the Ravens, too, because he's just got that raw attitude, you know, that just.
Something that they've been missing since they let.
Kiss my ass attitude, you know. I love Steve Smith.
There you go.
Well, what a game that was.
Freaking Ravens. Ravens love fest here in the lounge. I don't know.
Hey.
You got to give them credit. See, give the team credit.
Guys, Cowboy, you can go back to the pre-game, the preview shows we did. I touted the Ravens.
Oh, you did.
And I said they were good. They were better than Pittsburgh, and they're gonna compete, and they sure as shit did. And they brought the Patriots down to their, down to the wire in that game, man. I'll tell you what.
They gave us a great game. Hey, one for the ages.
That was the worst matchup possible. It was a great game. I don't remember too many playoff games like that one. Regular season games, they're a dime a dozen like that, but what a when they first went down 14-0, honest to God, in my head I was saying, oh my God, they're gonna get blown out at home. But once they tied it up and then they went down 14 again, I sat there and said, no, there's still 25 minutes left in this game. That's going to shock. And, they came back and they did their thing. Oh, my goodness. Great throw to LaFell, that touchdown catch. Oh, I mean, that had to be pinpoint accurate. What a great throw, great catch. Oh, man. That was awesome.
Went into the bag of tricks a little. Danny Amendola earned his money as a Patriot in that game. It's worth every penny.
Amendola. Correct. Yeah, Amendola. I mean, hey, it's kind of like the J.D. Drew syndrome. You remember that long time ago? They signed him for $70 million, the Red Sox. And, oh, my God, this guy's not worth the money. Then he hit that grand slam against Cleveland. And it was like, oh, all is forgotten. He was worth the money. Hey, Amendola, all the money they paid him, he was worth it just for that game. Because he came through big time, man. Big time. That touchdown was nice, man. I shouldn't say not many receivers, but a lot of receivers probably would have went out of bounds. Diving over that pylon. Oh, yeah, it was a great play. Great, great. I loved it, man. What a game that was. How about the four linemen? The trick play there that got Jim Harbaugh up in panties all up in a bunch.
Shane
Marine coming in ineligible. Hey, great coaching, right?
You got out-coached. He should have called timeout when he saw his team was confused. He should have called
timeout. That's what the Ravens should have done. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But they hit him with it three times. Three different times.
Harbaugh got out-coached.
When I was watching it originally, and I saw Hooman go down the seam, untouched, uncovered, for like 12, 13, 14 yards, I'm going, what the fuck? How did he get so wide open? I didn't realize what they were doing until after Harbaugh complained, and then they showed it on the replay, and I'm like, oh, wow.
All within the rules.
It was.
Outsmarted by the genius.
And it does. Keith, it looks like the report that you quoted there, I just saw it too, so it looks like maybe those substitutions really pissed off the Ravens because they ratted the Patriots out to the Colts.
Yeah, they were the ones that ratted them out.
Football. So that is, with you, Keith, that now, currently, that is the Patriots' rival. Before that, it's basically whoever Manning was playing for, right?
Right. But I think Peyton is...
But even still, I think from a team perspective, when Peyton was on the Colts, it was one thing. That was a real rivalry. They played each other every single year.
They played every single year. But both won their division every year. Yeah.
Since he left the Colts, I mean, I think the Ravens are the Patriots' rival. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the teams both feel that way. The teams don't like each other.
Yeah. They hate each other.
Which, again, to me... Senior, I don't know. I find it tough to root for those guys. I mean, Suggs, you want to talk about low character individuals, you should look up.
What an asshole
that
guy
is. You should look up the domestic incident that he had prior to.
Yeah.
Pouring
bleach on his wife and daughter. Scumbag.
If there was video of T Sizzle doing that, yeah, I mean, he'd be in prison. He wouldn't just.
But, you know, I can forgive him for it when he knocks Roethlisberger on his ass. It makes it impossible for me to overlook that.
It's baseless.
Right? Well, I can see what you're saying because, you know, that happens twice a year, right? They play the Steelers twice a year, so you get to see him beat up Ben for a little while. Yeah, I get it, but I don't know, man. Cowboys, that's the rivalry right there, the Ravens. And then they always seem to be matched up in the playoffs, usually because the Pats are a one seed and the Ravens are a low seed. For whatever reason, they can't get it done in the regular season. And to me, that goes to coaching. Like, they don't take teams seriously. Remember when they played Jacksonville this year? They had to win in the fourth quarter. They had to come back and win that game. In the fourth quarter. If the Patriots played the Jaguars this year, they would have beat them by 30. It would have been over in the second, you know. By the time the second half came around, game would have been over.
Baltimore, when they play the Pats, it's like a throw the records out kind of game. But, I mean, their team was not that good this year. I mean, if you look at Well, and the way the Patriots beat them, I mean, the Patriots shouldn't be able to win the game that way. Literally not running the ball at all. Not running at all and not protecting Brady. But they won because of how piss poor Baltimore's secondary is, which is why I thought the Steelers were going to beat them, because they can't cover anybody. They haven't been able to cover anyone all season. And their offense played great against the Patriots, but their defense played awful. I mean, I know Senior said they put some heat on Brady, and they did, but that's anything good that the front seven did, the secondary more than made up for. It's like playing the Jets, you know, and that's how, I mean, you can keep a team like Jacksonville in the game. If you can't, I mean, if you can't stop the pass in the NFL, it's tough to win sometimes. And what do you guys think about Kubiak leaving there and going to Denver?
You know, it's funny because like 3 days before John Fox resigned or left, whatever, however that happened, Gary Kubiak had said, I'm not interviewing for any head coaching jobs, I'm staying in Baltimore. And then all of a sudden, Fox left and Kubiak changed his tune, like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and he went to Denver. So I think it's a good fit for them. Obviously, he was John Elway's backup, Kubiak. So, you know, he's going to fit in nicely there. I think they're going to run the ball a lot more next year with Kubiak there. I mean, look what he did for Baltimore with Justin Forsett at running back. Never mind when he sinks his teeth into Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson and Monte Ball if they all come back. I mean, they're going to have a good run game, which is going to preserve Peyton, hopefully. And Denver will be right back there again, you know, at the end of the year. Playoffs, you know, I'm going to predict right now they'll win their division next year again. My opinion.
I like the move for Denver. For the reasons you said, I think preserving Peyton needs to be a top priority. At this point, it seems like, I mean, because it's been a couple of years, I mean, it seems like you can count on him for 10 games worth of work, right? So,
yeah.
If you can have him kind of reverse what they did this year, right, which was run all at the end of the season.
Yeah.
If you can do that at the beginning
of the year, preserve him. Right.
Do that at the beginning of the year, preserve him, and then unleash him, as so to speak, as the end of the year and the playoffs come.
Save some of them bullets for the playoffs.
Right, because he was dead, obviously, at the end of this year. The one part of his offense I think that's going to be tough for Peyton is you got the running game, and then he loves to take those deep shots. And Peyton doesn't really do that too well anymore, but it'll definitely be interesting.
Well, I mean, because, you know, it's a total different defense, though. You know, when you're playing against the run, it opens up that deep stuff. You know, like look in Houston. All them years when Kubiak was in Houston, it was give the ball to Foster. Then a play action down on Andre Johnson wide open 40 yards down the field.
Right. Well,
he's got the receivers that can do it. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders.
He's got the receivers.
I mean, I know. I understand what you're saying. You know, he doesn't have the arm to get it down there. I still think he can throw a nice 30-yard out route off a play action.
Against Indy,
the problem is when you know it's coming, it's easier to defend. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Indy was just leaving the receivers one-on-one and daring Manning to beat him long, and he couldn't do it.
Right. He couldn't do it. Right.
What do you think, Senior?
But I think his thigh injury really hurt him, though.
If you've listened to the stuff that Kubiak said since he got the job, he's come out a few times with statements that he's willing to bend his offensive system a little bit. He's willing to pattern it more to Peyton Manning, which tells me
he's going to have to.
He's willing to let him throw underneath some, I think. I really think that's what he's trying to say. A big facet of his offense, what his offense has always been, he's always leaned heavily on the ground game, and I agree with you guys that they're going to want to do that, but I think what you're saying, that he loves to take the deep shots, he might not he might not take so many deep shots. He's smart enough to see what he has there. He has a guy like Demaryius Thomas that's incredible after the catch. He's got a real talented tight end who you want to throw underneath some too. So I think they're going to do that. The other issue with Kubiak was the health thing. That was why he said he'd never be a head coach again. And his response to that is that there's two reasons why he took this head coaching job that he wouldn't have taken any other. The biggest reason being his relationship with John Elway. He's always had a tremendous relationship with him, seeing it since his days of being his teammate. And the other thing he says he's learned through the years. He learned with his time as a coordinator that you have to delegate more, that he tried to take on way too much upon himself, and that's why he had the health issues, that when things went bad and they started losing, he started taking even more upon himself, and he certainly got to put a good staff together and be willing to delegate more than he ever did to his assistants. And probably part of that is he's not going to be the one and only offensive mind there, that he's going to be willing to, let's face it, your assistant offensive coordinator is Peyton Manning. You got to be willing to listen to him a little bit, and I think that's what he's trying to say.
That's it.
He will be. He's gonna be more flexible. So yeah, if all this is true, you put that whole combination thing into effect. Yeah, you lean on the running game more, like they were at the end of the year. You allow Peyton to throw balls that he's comfortable with, and yeah, I think it could be good for Denver. Definitely could be good for Denver. I mean, this is probably a one-year thing with Peyton. And then you're going to be going another way, and then you can go with the entire Gary Kubiak system at that point if you want. He's got the running backs. He does have, at least he's already got one receiver that's very capable of going deep. They're going to be replacing Welker with somebody. I think he's done.
Julius Thomas is probably gone.
Yeah. So
he's a free agent, right?
After 1 year.
Demaryius and Julius are both free agents.
Yeah,
I don't think they can sign them both. They're going to have to make a decision.
Well, and you have to pick Demaryius. You have to.
Absolutely.
If he's not the best receiver in football, he's top three or something.
He's one of them.
I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, for this 1 year, it certainly behooves him to bend and go along with Peyton and listen to what Peyton said. Absolutely. But then after that, he knows that this can't be much more than a 1 year thing, and then he can install his own system and do it his way, and he's probably real comfortable with that. So it's probably a good move for everybody all the way around.
Do you guys know what he signed for, like as far as money, years and money? I don't know. I'm asking.
It was multiple years. I don't know what the money was, but it was multiple years.
All right.
I think he's in it for the long haul. Yeah. And they're not the kind of an organization.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, he may have signed, let's just say it was a 4 or 5 year deal. He may be looking at it and saying, hey, my best chance to win is next year with Peyton.
Four year deal, Keith. I can't find the money, but it was a 4 year deal.
He knows that this year he's got to listen to Peyton, but then it's his team after that.
I think it's a smart move for Kubiak.
He's got a lot of leverage. He knows it. He knows it, he knows if you're going to fuck Peyton Manning, that you've got the wrong attitude, you know what I mean? It's Peyton's team right now, but it'll become Kubiak's team after Peyton leaves,
Maybe
I'll win a Super Bowl with Peyton.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. This is, in the forefront of his mind, I got one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live on my team this year. I know he's old. I know he's at the end of his rope, but he can still do it, you know. They put their minds together. You throw that running game in with Peyton. Listen, anybody can say what they want about Peyton Manning. He's an accurate passer. And if he saves those bullets, before he hurt his thigh, week 11, was it? Week 12? I mean, the guy was leading the league with touchdown passes, right?
Yeah, he was having a great year.
He was tearing shit up. So, if he tones it down a little bit, lean on the running game, like you were saying, Cowboy, lean on the running game a little bit more, save those bullets for when it counts. I mean, I think they can walk away with that division. Where's the competition? San Diego? Yeah.
You never know year to year.
Every year they're the same, San Diego. Every year.
The Chiefs could be good, too.
Yeah,
Alex Smith. I love Alex Smith. I think he's a great game manager, but come on, man. You got to have more talent around him. Yeah. They went for an entire season without a single touchdown pass to a wide receiver. Even, do you remember the last game of the year when they threw the touchdown to Dwayne Bowe and it got called back?
Yep.
Or he was down at the one or whatever it was. I mean, that's the Chiefs right there.
It's an average.
Great run game, great defense, or good defense. But, I think they can compete with Denver.
No, I mean, you never
know. They couldn't
beat them. You just never know. If Peyton comes in, and, I mean, he looked, I mean, if it was an injury and he's just done, I mean, if it's the same Denver team that ended the season, then any one of the other teams could win the division, right? I mean, he just...
Right, but... You say if it was an injury, I mean, I think it's plain as day it was. You know, like I said, the first 10, 11 weeks, the guy had 30, 35 touchdowns. You know, he was throwing for 300 yards every
game. I agree that something was off.
And then all of a sudden, boom, he couldn't throw no more. It had to be an injury. It had to be.
And they said he had the torn
quad. I know he was never a good... you know, outside the numbers kind of passer. But he could still throw that play action 30 yards on the money, down the hash. So, you know, he hit Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, look at the numbers Emmanuel Sanders put up this year. That's no coincidence. It was with Peyton Manning, right? He played how many years in Pittsburgh? He never put those numbers up. Never. Not even close.
Of course.
You know?
Absolutely. All right, guys.
So
I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Great having
you. We got nothing else to talk about?
Not tonight, Keith. We're going to have a big Super Bowl preview next week, though. Big Super Bowl preview.
I can't wait for that. All right. If you like money. I'm just saying.
So we have a big Super Bowl preview coming next week. Tune in for that. Hope everyone enjoyed our special guest, Justin Rosero, giving it was kind of two against one there. I thought he held his own pretty good against the Cowboy Senior and Keith Schmidt onslaught. And
I think if we get him in the ring, we'd fuck him up.
just another night here in the lounge. Keith's tipping him back over at the bar, ready to really get down here.
I'm ready to go now.
Yeah, absolutely. Senior, as always, enjoying himself, so... Thank you guys for a great show.
All right, it was great meeting, great doing it, Cowboy, as always. Always enjoyable. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Doesn't get any better than this.
We're on to Seattle, as they say. Is that right?
We're on to Seattle. Hey, did you guys notice that in the after the game? The trophy ceremony? Belichick, when he got the trophy, that's all he said. He said, I only have one thing to say. Well, on to Seattle. That was fucking fantastic.
Absolutely.
That made me laugh.
It's me. All right. Jackie, so for Cowboy Senior, for Keith, that's right. And the Cowboys, let's get real sweaty. Get him out. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. Who wants to love me sexy? Love me sexy. Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy? Lick me sexy. Take off your shoes and suck me sexy. Suck me sexy. Baby, we'll make it and we'll hump me sexy. Says love me. Your mind says sexy. Love me sexy. Love me. Who wants to love me sexy? Love me sexy. Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy? Lick me sexy. Take off your shoes and suck me sexy. Mood to fly to the stars with Jackie Moon. When I say love, man,
sexy. Love me sexy. Won't you love me sexy?
Love me sexy.
Are you ready to lick me sexy? What's been happening? Yeah. Too late now. It's on.